On the show today, we have Artist Technology's very own Barclay Keith talking about how credit unions can help businesses in a post-PPP world. So check it out. Before we get into our interview, I just want to give you a quick heads up on our CU Knowledge Hub page. It is our page is just loaded with free downloadable content, which includes white papers, webinars, product guides, case studies, industry analysis, and a whole lot more. And it's all provided by experts and vendors within the credit union industry. So go check it out today. That's CU Knowledge Hub. And now on to the interview. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Artist Technology's very own Barclay Keith. Barclay, how are you doing today?
Hey, doing well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're welcome. And we're talking about a very timely topic here, as we were talking before the recording, how credit unions can help businesses kind of in a post-PPP world, payment protection program world here. So how can, I'm going to cut to the chase here, Barclay, but how can credit unions help businesses in a post-PPP environment, if I said that right? If I got enough
time. Yeah, I'm happy to jump into that. And, you know, when you look at the traditional role you've seen from both community banks and credit unions, they've always been that connector to those financial services, but we really see that evolving, especially with the PPP. You know, they've really been able to deploy this government system very quickly, faster than the government I think has ever moved. And the community banks and credit unions have been vital to deploy those funds. But what they've also done is they've proved that they're capable of also injecting that technology into those who need it most. Mm-hmm. And we see those community banks and those credit unions as vital to really becoming that tech connection point for all of these small businesses from these financial services side, where they really do need these real-time payments. They need to be able to use point-of-need lending, all of these tools that really help them grow revenue and grow and bounce back as a business are tools I think we're going to see these traditional financial institutions start to look at as mainstream offerings.
Yeah.
You know, being able to kind of be that central point for that, be it a home improvement, small remodeler, or, you know, your local manufacturer, being able to offer those products and those seamless technologies is going to be vital.
No doubt, no doubt. And so why do credit unions need to start thinking kind of outside of PPP loans and traditional banking service to help these small businesses around the country?
Well, I think the opportunity is huge. And if you think about those incentives, they really align, meaning, you know, the incentive to have that long-term relationship is really there versus some of the fintech 1.0 and 2.0 companies where they inject this technology, they inject themselves into the brand for what is really a one-time transaction. Mm-hmm. You know, versus it being a one-time transaction, many of these are very long relationships for the life of the business, if not the life of the individual as well. And so being able to be that trusted resource and that trusted advisor where they're not only provide that operating account, the traditional working capital, but also help them weave in payments into their new website and things like that. Being able to offer those financial services as a technology is going to be important because these businesses truly need them to continue to grow and offer that end consumer the best experience.
Are these financial institutions, are they becoming fintechs basically? Are they becoming technology companies essentially? Because that's what I keep hearing again and again. It's like, you know, small banks and credit unions, there's so much technology involved now that they're almost considered technology companies providing banking services, it sounds like.
Well, I think it's less about making them tech companies and more about making them those, as I mentioned, kind of trusted gateways where they can find best-in-class services and help them leverage that technology, mm-hmm. versus trying to develop it themselves. That's what I see as kind of vital, keeping that almost a gatekeeper-like status where you say, hey, yeah, this is what we work with from a payments provider. This is what we think is best-in-class. This is how you integrate with them. Okay. This is what we think point-of-need lending. This is what we think, you know, all of these different products. You know, kind of getting through the noise and helping these small business owners navigate what products are truly right for them and can help them grow their business more importantly.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And so why is a business becoming the face of consumer financing good news for a credit union or a small bank out there?
Because they have those relationships already existing and they also have that long-term incentive in that community to build that relationship. And I think that, you know, multiple transaction relationship, meaning over the life of the business or over the life of the actual, you know, business owner, mm-hmm. is really valuable versus that one-off transaction. Because again, it's really easy to misalign incentives if we're just going to have a single transaction versus series of transactions.
Mm-hmm. No doubt, no doubt. And so can you talk to us about how the next wave of innovation should be geared toward modernizing consumer financing to stimulate demand for local businesses, products, and services?
Yeah, I think if you look at how traditionally financial services are delivered, be it lending or really payments, anything of that sort, It's a highly fragmented market where a lot of these small businesses, especially in more rural communities or outside of those major cities, don't necessarily have access to the same technologies or even know about them. The reality is, you know, you think about some of these fintech companies that are coming up, you know, you don't see that in the suburbs even for years, much less these rural areas, you know. And so you think about these community banks, they have those kind of tentacles where they're in all these places. And so by tapping into that flow of technology and really rendering that down to the usable pieces, they can provide a ton of value to that business owner where, you know, again, weaving in real-time payments, and this is a Forrester stat, is shown to increase revenue by over 15% and average order size by 17 to 20%. You know, that's major lift there.
Yeah.
You look at that, I mean, any business looks at that stat and they're like, all right, what's the cost of this? How do we do this versus, you know, this is a working capital line, which is a one-off and you're going to pay me for it.
Yeah.
Right.
So how much has COVID really influenced? I mean, off the top of my head, as you're talking, I keep thinking about how COVID has really influenced this, especially with the accelerated advancement of digital services. How much has COVID influenced this on this topic?
I mean, a ton. If you look at, I mean, your own life, I'm sure your cell phone has become much more pertinent from everything from ordering to restaurants to everything else. And so, you know, just kind of related to artists, how we design our whole platform is really to be contactless and mobile friendly. We did it for security, but it's also resulted in kind of a positive side effect in this environment because of the fact that so much of our transaction and our actual interaction has moved to our own personal device. Mm-hmm. And so I think you'll see that trend continuing to accelerate. You know, even if I'm in that bank branch, I might be interacting with their app or really being directed to that app via some visual that I pull my phone, you know, it's a QR code, it's something like that. Yep. That should be kind of how they think about weaving products into those businesses as well. And so if you think about these new products in this new world of, call it emerging technology, you know, I think the small business that's using this and leveraging this is also learning about it just as fast as these banks. And so it's a real opportunity, I think, for fintech and banks to really partner, community banks, credit unions to partner on getting those best-in-class services into the hands of those small businesses so they can really optimize their business. I mean, it's in everyone's interest if we have a booming small business economy.
No doubt. And this thing has never been more, like you said, this thing has never been more important than ever. Even this thing, you know, it's been a godsend, you know, during this time because I don't have to touch anything if we're going down the COVID road here. So, but yeah, it's just this stuff. And my credit union offers all those services. So the value of it, at least for me, has really gone through the roof. So I'm just like, I'm all in with what they're providing. So I think what you say is completely, completely spot on. And so, and the next question here is I want to ask you is, can you expand on downstream credit approach and why it is that the economy needs to drive demand for local businesses, goods and services? So what's the downstream credit approach here?
When we talk about downstream, what we're referring to here is offering that end consumer product, so consumer loans, via that merchant that already exists with the bank. So that SMB that already exists with that community credit union or whoever, offering their end customer services, really. So it's getting those services downstream, but it's also reducing customer acquisition costs. It's building that loyalty because you're helping that SMB upsell it to that customer by weaving in those products. And so when we think of downstream, it's anything downstream from that bank as a financial product all the way to that consumer. Mm-hmm. So everything that merchant uses, that SMB uses, as well as that consumer might use, those are all those downstream products. And when we think about that revenue cycle all the way downstream, that's really what we're trying to help them capture as well.
Okay. Okay. And how big a challenge is this? Is it a challenge to help folks capture this, or are there any hurdles with this, or is it pretty easy?
You'd be surprised at the number of folks that we talk to that still have, you know, less than 10 factors in their credit models. And it also takes multiple days to get through their credit models.
Oh, wow.
We show them our underwriting and it happens in literally under a second. And they're like, wait, what just happened? Are you waiting for someone to call you back? And I'm like, no, that's it. It's done. Yeah. So I think a lot of these products and a lot of these technologies, especially around the automation of onboarding and underwriting and fraud, are really impactful, and they're structurally changing the way we do business. Meaning I can verify you from an AML KYC standpoint very quickly now and reduce that fraud risk to where we can now do real-time payments.
Yeah.
We can now do real-time loan distributions and things of that sort. And then, you know, more importantly, on that SMB and merchant side, we can control that funding all the way through in a very quick real-time manner, but also a closed loop controlled manner as well. Mm-hmm. And so having those risk controls while also being able to do it in a real-time manner is a real game changer, because for that small business, you're compressing that revenue cycle. You're allowing them to go out and get those supplies and actually, you know, get that job done quicker. For that end consumer, you can actually help them get what they want. And as that lending institution, you're able to capture both sides.
Indeed. Such great news for the industry. As we've been through some really crazy, uncertain times, but I think I keep saying, and a lot of other people as well, there's such the innovation that's going to come from all of this stuff, especially in the next 6 to 12 months, is going to be amazing. So I'm really kind of sitting on pins and needles to see what else is coming down the road. And I'm sure you're, and you guys are right there in the mix. So what you're seeing is, you know, what we're going to be seeing here pretty soon as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's actually kind of fun to see what's going to be coming. So it's pretty cool stuff. Anything else here to add, Barclay?
You know, I mean, I'm really, you know, really excited about the opportunity. As you mentioned, I think this has been a huge catalyst for innovation across the board, but it's also put folks in the mindset that they see these strategic partnerships to accelerate the technology side is now really viable. Mm-hmm. Versus, I think beforehand they were, you know, kind of kicking the tires a little bit, but now everything's accelerating from that side because they see the importance. So really excited about the future, as you said.
Yeah, there's no time to kick the tires anymore. It's get in it and drive. Come on.
True statement. True statement. Absolutely.
All right, Barclay. Well, I'll let you get going. I know you got a lot on your plate, so appreciate the time. And yeah, keep up the good work there. It's really exciting stuff.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.